Grace, mercy, and peace be yours today from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit which dwells in all of God's children. Amen. We are working through our red letter challenge. I hope that you've been a part of that. If you haven't, it's not too late. We're only on day 12 of 40. I guess today is day 13. We are just getting started, and you can catch up with us because it's only a few minutes a day, and the challenge is a pretty straightforward challenge. Or you could jump in and start right where we are and then go back if you would like. But we're glad that those of you who are participating are a big part of this, and we're looking forward to continuing to go in this challenge. This last week was about being. Pastor Matt spoke on being on Sunday, and then throughout the week we had devotions on being with God, abiding in His Word and His presence in our life, and what that means to constantly be in communication with Him. Today we're building on that as we talk about forgiveness. And what we're going to talk about today in forgiveness is that we need to hear the voice of God above all the other voices, because there's a lot of voices that tell us a lot of things about ourselves. As we look at forgiveness, I want to give a few illustrations that hopefully help us to embrace the reality of forgiveness, because what I've experienced is that most of us have trouble really embracing forgiveness. We either deal with our sin by either pretending that we haven't sinned or that we justify our sin, or when we realize the gravity of our sin, we dwell in it and we get stuck in the guilt and the shame, and it weighs us down and it prohibits us from moving forward as we might ought to do. And so as part of this, part of forgiveness is really about exposing and burying yourself and being vulnerable to allow Christ to heal. And so I'm going to model that for a little bit this morning. It's not going to be easy, but we're going to get through it, I think. So what I want to talk is a little illustration that you all hopefully can relate to, okay? And I'm going to show you a picture of my house, right? And this is my couch. All right, this is really my couch. It's my drinking, my glass right there on the corner. So I was doing devotions on my red letter challenge, looking at some stuff for how I might talk about forgiveness, and came across the illustration, and I thought, man, we're going to do this. So here is my couch. It looks pretty nice, doesn't it? Pretty comfy, right? We have small group in our house. Some of you may have been on my couch before doing small group or just visiting, however it may be. It's a pretty comfy spot, pretty desirable place to sit. You got the window right there kind of shining in on you. And as long as it's not too cold, because it can be a little drafty by that window, but nonetheless, a desirable place, right? And it looks pretty comforting. This is how most of us are when we come to church in the morning or throughout the day. Most of us feel like this is what Christians are supposed to look like. And so we put on this great face, this comfortable face. People say, how you doing? We say, doing great. Yeah, how are you? Wonderful. Oh, good. Yeah, well, why are we even here if everybody's so happy all the time? But the truth is, the church and our God is a place where we get healing. And so don't judge me, but I'm going to be vulnerable here, and I'm going to open up my couch to you. All right, so here's the next thing. This is hard. You didn't imagine how hard it is to do this, right? I mean, these are really our socks, and these are really our pens and pencils. And I was a little proud there's not more food in there. We don't eat on the couch all that much, to be honest. There's some dog hair, though, right? So there's a little Nala hair on there. We've got some fake money from a game. We've got the wrappings of a Christmas present, the Sherpa. We got a Sherpa for Christmas, right? So that's not from Christmas. We opened it a little bit later, but nonetheless, here it is. It's not easy to do, right? But here's what we needed to say, right? This is how we all are on the inside, right? We all have that sin. We all have that guilt. We all have that shame. We all have those things that maybe nobody knows about us, right? Now, I'm pretty sure my small group's going to come over and look under my couch now, right? Because that's just how they are on things. But, you know, nonetheless, you think about this. I mean, we all have this inside of us, but we pretend it isn't there. That doesn't get us good places. In fact, Jesus, in his own words, warns us about pretending that we don't have this on the inside. He tells us through his words that that the Pharisees were in trouble for being whitewashed tombs, who are outwardly appearing beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones. I got a picture here of not a tomb, but a ossuary, which is part of a tomb. And in this ossuary, what happens here is this is also known as a bone box. And the custom in Jesus' day of dealing with a dead body was to put the body in a tomb, wrap it in cloths, and put oils and things on it so that it wouldn't smell as bad, but then you allow it to decay. And then once it had decayed, and all the flesh and bones, or all the flesh and muscle and organs had completely decayed, they would go in and they would take the bones, which do not decay, and they would pick them up and they would put them in this bone box or this ossuary. And so the tomb was a place of death. It was a place of foul odors, and it was a place of bone boxes. Right, but look at how pretty this bone box is. I mean, they've gone through great pains to sketch it up and to carve into it and to make it as beautiful as possible. But if you open that up, it's still just those ugly, dead bones. Jesus said this is what the Pharisees did. They decorate themselves on the outside, pretend to be wonderful and happy and good and godly. But on the inside, they were ugly, dirty, and even dead. You and I feel that way at times. See, but the Pharisees hid it. And that's different. We want to be honest about where we are. And the honesty is that if we sin, which we all do, we become slaves to sin. We become slave to sin, not just the repetition of doing that sin over and over, or the comfort that sin brings to us instead of the comfort that we should be getting in Christ. Yes, we become a slave to sin through addiction or through habits or through seeking hope in something else. But we also become a slave to sin by the guilt and the shame that's inside us. We become enslaved to sin because of the way that we treat others differently when they've sinned against us, or the way we feel invalidated in doing ministry and caring for other people. Jesus says in John 8, verse 34, he says, "Everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." This is the reality of the life we live, and it's the reality of how we feel day to day. Most of the time, we're either pretending that our sin isn't that bad, or we're feeling the guilt and the shame and the poor, miserable sinner part of life. But just a few verses later, in John chapter 8, Jesus also says this: "If the Son sets you free, you're free indeed." If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. In other words, Jesus, the Son of God, came to set you and I free. And if he sets us free, we're free. No longer slaves to the sin that we feel dwells within us. In fact, he goes on to say it a little bit further. He says that in 2 Corinthians, these aren't the words of Jesus, but the words of Paul expounding on the words of Jesus. He says that your past cannot dictate and does not design and describe your present nor your future. He says if anybody is in Christ, the Son, right, he is a new creation. The old has passed and the new has come. He says you're no longer a slave to sin, but now you're a slave to righteousness. You've been set free. But how often do we feel free? How often do we truly believe that our couches have in fact been cleaned up and vacuumed out and are wonderful places in our homes now? How often do we realize or do we believe that the sin and the guilt and the shame that we feel isn't real anymore? It's a lie of the evil one. Brothers and sisters, in Christ, Jesus came and experienced horrific torture, pain, and suffering. He died on a cross and was embarrassed publicly. For what? So that you could be set free. When we hold to the guilt or the shame, when we hold back ourselves because we're not worthy or we're underprepared, when we say to ourselves or believe the lies that we are, in fact, poor, miserable sinners, period, then we invalidate the work of Jesus. We cannot allow Jesus to die for nothing. He died so we can be set free. How can we be more free and step into that trust and that holiness that God, in fact, gives to us through his Spirit? We have to be in the Word. We have to abide in Christ. This whole last week is critical for this whole next week. Because what the truth is in our lives is that the accuser is out there, constantly pointing his finger and reminding us how dirty we are on the inside and how filthy our past has been. We have to allow the voice of God to overwhelm the voice of the accuser. The biblical account today is the woman caught in adultery. Now, we're not going to dig deep into the reality that in order to be caught in adultery, there's got to be two people. Where's the man in this situation? We're not going to dig into that today because that's just another layer that isn't part of what we're trying to get into today. What we're going to deal with is the person who was brought forth and what happened. And what happened is that the people who are holy and righteous were accusing her of sin. And they're bringing her to Jesus, God, and they're using the law of God against her. Does that sound familiar? That guilt we feel, that unholiness that we have inside us, that enslavement to sin that allows to ensnare us, that comes from us seeing the law, right? The word of God and his expectations for us. We know his high demands. We know what he expects of us. And we feel bad when we don't live up to it. It's easy for the accuser. It's easy to come and point a finger and point out all the things that are imperfect in people's lives. And that's what happens. The accusers come, the Pharisees, the church in this context, come and they point out the sin of this woman and they say, look, God says this isn't acceptable. Now what are you going to do? And here's Jesus, the perfect representation, presence of God's law and his demand for perfection. But more than that, you know, our God has high expectations, and he's a vengeful God for those who don't achieve them. But our God is a loving God who sent a Savior. And as this woman is accused of sin, which she clearly committed, Jesus' words ring powerful. You who was without sin, cast the first stone. Jesus has the right to convict her. She's guilty. But instead of bringing God's wrath, Christ brings God's love and forgiveness and restoration. He didn't say she wasn't guilty. He just set her free from the sin that so easily ensnared her. He took that sin upon his own shoulders on the cross, just like he takes your sin and mine. He buries it in the tomb, and then he rises again in glory to show us that we have a new life now. Just thinking about that illustration, if you haven't done your devotion yet today for Red Letter Challenge, I'm going to give you a little spoiler alert. It's a pretty good one, right? It's written by Zach, the author of the book, and he tells an account of a time where he got caught in sin. I would use my own illustration, but his is so good. Then it's way more fun to talk about somebody else's sin than your own. So this illustration is fantastic. He is coming home late from church, which I can totally relate to. Right, he's just trying to get home for the evening, and he goes through his neighborhood, and he gets pulled over by a police officer in his own neighborhood, right? Of course, he says, there's never any cops here. What are they doing, right? And he's going 12 over the speed limit, and he kind of asks the police officer to extend a little grace, but doesn't say that he's a pastor, although he's thinking about throwing the pastor card, right? But he doesn't. The police officer comes back and says, I extended you some grace. I gave you just 10 over instead of 12 over, right? And so he's got a ticket. All right, well, he was guilty. He did it. He goes home. The next morning, he's coming back to church. He gets a late start, and he's going through his neighborhood, and lo and behold, there's the lights again. Same cop. Right, pulls him over again a second time in less than 12 hours. And the cop comes up, catches him speeding again. And the cop says to him, you know, you again, huh? He said, where you go? Why are you in such a hurry? Where are you going so fast? Of course, Zach plays the pastor card. Well, I'm the pastor at the church. Oh, where do you go to church? First Baptist. No, just kidding, just kidding. You know, I'm at the Lutheran church, you know, and he's just telling him, you know, that he's got these important responsibilities. And so cop says, all right. So he goes back to his car, and just a few moments later, he's right back, you know. Zach's thinking, oh, good, you know, it was quick. He didn't run everything. He just, you know, he's going to let me off, give me a warning, because, of course, I got a ticket last night. And he comes back, and instead of a ticket, he has two for him, one for speeding and one for not having proper registration for the car. So now he's got three tickets in less than 12 hours, right? And he's going, what in the world? Why were you so fast? I thought you were going to let me go. And he says, oh, I was fast because all your information is still in my computer from last night, right? And so here he is, 12 or three tickets in 12 hours. And a guy in the congregation's a lawyer. And he says, here, pastor, give me your tickets. And so the lawyer goes before the judge, and he comes back to Zach. He says, they're all gone. They're all gone. What do you mean? I mean, you got a lower fee, or you got the points off the license so I don't look as bad as I really was? He says, no, they're gone. What do you mean they're gone? He says, the cop didn't even bother to show up, and so they're gone. Zach sinned, but there's no penalty. No, the accuser didn't even bother to show up. And that's how it is for us, I believe. You know, we go before God, guilty as charged. Three tickets in 12 hours, that's nothing when it comes to myself against God's law. When I go before the throne of God, man, I feel guilty. I am guilty, and I deserve whatever punishment. I'm just praying that he might lessen it a little bit. And there's the accuser, the devil. A little picture to try to illustrate this. Pointing his finger at us, standing in front of the law of God, saying, see, see, you're not worthy. You're not worth it. You can't even keep this simple law. You don't deserve to be here. Trying to tear us down, keep us quiet. But there's Jesus, our advocate. And he goes before God and he says, Father, he says, this person might be guilty, but remember, it's not them, it's me. I'm the one who is speeding. I'm the one who is sinning. And I paid the price for that on the cross. And so this person, they're wearing my robe of righteousness. Remember, you promised. You love them. And in that context, the accuser goes away. He has no power. As God, our Heavenly Father, remembers his mercy and love, wipes our slate clean, Jesus paying the price, our advocate, and God's love pouring out on us. It's gone, brothers and sisters. It's paid in full, the guilt, the shame, all of it, gone. Let him have it. Receive God's forgiveness in your own life that you might be free to live as God's advocate and extend that grace to others. As you receive that grace wholly and completely in you, you're more compassionate in extending it to others. That's our challenge this week, to grow in the fullness of the forgiveness of Christ's love and mercy. And as we do, to grow in our ability to extend that to others that have hurt us, or to allow others to forgive us as we've hurt them. I got one more word of Jesus, one more red letter quote, if you will. I hope you can read them okay this morning. But this is Jesus' own words again. He said, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Christ's blood covers our sins, washes them completely, and gives us his Holy Spirit that we might trust it. You've got to be in his word to hear that truth over and over and over, because the accuser is right there pointing it out day after day after day. But abide in Christ, and the accuser loses his voice. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.